old spend because like for physics, I spend a bit more time with modules. Module. I mean, like algebra. But, you know, just a little more slowly of the base object, underlying object. So, so I guess I would like to. What's my goal today? I guess I would like to. Which is the good one to keep, like until later.
The middle one first.
Then you move it up.
Okay. So I guess the big picture today, I would like to define quantum fields. And there will be several definitions because people don't quite agree on how to define it. It depends on what you use it for. The best definition might be great. But let's start, I'll explain all these objects later. I'll just start by sketching. So let's consider semi-simple algebraic group. I mean, I'll define them, I'll give the example later, so, and define at the same time. So, you can start with semi-simple algebraic group. Okay, then, then you can look at the regular functions of them. So you get maybe look at regular function on semi. So I mean I'm going to get to quantum group here. So regular functions.
Sorry, is regular a technical term there or is it just
Yeah.
Okay. So what does it mean?
So first algebraic group means that I wanted to come back and talk about it because I want to be quick on this part. So you look at the regular functions, basically functions on some kind of algebraic manifold functions on you know G. Let's call this G. And then now I look at deformations of them. So so you put in Q deformation. And then you get so now trivial deformation you get a quantum group. So that's one definition of quantum group. On G, and I call this O of G. And the formation, so maybe let's call it OG deformed by Q. Okay. And this is one kind of definition of quantum group. Let's look at what you have. There's an alternative way to go about it. So for any algebraic group, you know, when you have a Lie group, you have a Lie algebra. So, well, you have a corresponding semi-simple Lie algebra on this side. And then what you do is look at the universal enveloping algebra. So that's kind of, you know, in one word, it will be like the smallest associated algebra that contains the Lie algebra, or you take the bracket correspond to the commutator. So UG, this is a universal enveloping algebra. Giga of G, of little g. So this is associative. That means you don't just have the bracket, you also have multiplication, which is normal product. And then now if you can do the deformation, introduce some Q.
You're an addition one.
So sorry?
I mean you're at the algebra level, right? So
I mean
in multiplication algebra. It would be like addition or
no multiplication is multiplication. You have addition in addition. So you all have a multiplication, and so later I will define the algebra. So the Q, if you does not include one, it's just like non-trivial. I mean, also here. But I guess Q, maybe I will add this one word. Q is kind of like e to the omega, e to the h bar, roughly. I mean, that's kind of relation. Then you look at, so you look at universal enveloping algebra, you deform it, you get some family. You can have deformation, a deformation for each cube, and this would also be a quantum group. So a quantum group, one definition is that you can.
I'm sorry, I'm confused with group or algebra here.
So, yeah.
So G is an algebra, the algebra. U of G is also an algebra.
Yeah. This is a V algebra, this is algebra. So the difference between V is you only have the bracket but not the product. So the product is satisfied from your algebra for E.
Okay. So UG is a kind of a regular function on the letter G.
Actually, no. This is just universal Malloy algebra. It's more like, very much like the algebra, except that you make it bigger by defining and using the elements of the
product.
Yes. Tensor product. So I will write it down. Like when I have a particular example, I will write it out.
Wait, sorry. So the product on the universal and Malloy algebra is not the Lie bracket.
No. It's you also have a Lie bracket.
The product and the Lie bracket is the commutator.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And but here on the group side, it's kind of quite different. Or very dual. It's a dual notion here because it's the functions on the group. So it's, you know, you're going to dual things. So originally they're similar. They're like, I mean, similar. One is algebra, one is a group. You take the tangent vector, blah, blah, blah. And then now you have functions. So, you know, we expect some kind of duality between these two things because one you take the functions, one you're just working in the space. So. But let me first kind of highlight this as a definition of quantum group.
Lucy, so a very simple question. But in the first definition, is the quantum group a group at all?
Neither one are they a group.
Yeah, they're not a group.
So yeah, so this is an algebra. You deform an algebra, you still get some sort of algebra. They have different property. So this is an algebra, and this will also be an algebra because the regular functions form an algebra. You can multiply functions together, you can add them together, I think. So this will be also an algebra.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So
now
let's tentatively take this as a quantum group. It's one of the most stricter definition. But as you can see here, this cube deformation is kind of a little tricky, right? I mean, because you can introduce a parameter Q in almost any arbitrary way you want, but of course not all of them are interesting. So before I give more definitions, let me go and talk about what each of these objects are. I'll come back and mention two other definitions. So first, since quantum groups are algebra, so I want to make sure that you are familiar, you're familiar with the notion of algebra.
You should keep using that part. You erase the middle one and use the top one.
Erase the middle one?
Erase the middle one. Erase
the middle one.
And use the top
one. So let's start. The thing is, I want to keep going back.
Sometimes.
Okay.
I don't have to.
I mean, you don't have
to erase
it.
Yeah, you can leave it down there.
Yeah, but then it'll go down. Okay, maybe for now I don't need it, but later I'll give the examples and I'll keep going. So let's just define what an algebra is. So what a Hopf algebra is. So I guess the thing is that these quantum groups, they're Hopf algebras in particular. They're not just algebras, they have algebra structure, a co-algebra structure, and these two are compatible, as well as they also have something called n-type functions. So now I'll talk about all of these. First, what's an algebra? So first, I want to motivate why I'm talking about this. It's, some special kind of certain classes of algebra. So I'm going to talk about ingredients in a Hopf algebra. So Hopf algebra is basically a biogebra. I'm also with an integral. So we'll start with algebra. Well, an algebra is, a biogebra is algebra and coalgebra. And such that they're compatible, so I'm not sure what symbol to use. That's why I'm talking about algebra. So. Let's talk about an algebra. So usually algebra is, first you start with a vector space. And what you have is a multiplication and a unit, or how do you embed your base field, right? So this is a vector space over K, let's say. I'm always talking about K vector space, just some arbitrary field. And mu is, so just think for a second, this gives you multiplication, and the vector space has an addition structure, so we can multiply that. So this multiplication, of course, goes from 2 of something and multiply it to 1 of something. So 2 copies of H to 1 copy, since H has a product of vector space. And this has to be a linear map. So does this. So what's your one? You need to have an identity in your algebra. So things are both linear maps such that it satisfies. Such that it satisfies 2 commutative diagrams. Such that it satisfies associativity for one thing, so you multiply 3 elements together. It doesn't matter in which order you want. Well, not the order, but bracketing doesn't matter. So this is expressed in this notation. So let me just put this out. So there's an advantage of going to this diagrammatic representation, talking about commutative diagram, because that's what's natural. I mean, when I define coalgebra, you see that this definition carries over easily to coalgebra. So first, let's try to multiply together the first 2. So multiply the first 2, and then identity on the second one, leave it untouched. And then now I can multiply them together. Now we have 2 copies, 2 things in H, and now we get something in H. And the other way, the right-hand side corresponds to this path where you have identity tensor, the product, the product of the first, second, 2 first. And now you get 2 things, one in H, one in the other in H, and you now take the product. Okay, so that's a good axiom. I'll finish writing the other axioms. So the other one, the other one is, I guess, you have what you call the identity in your algebra, and multiply by A equals A multiplied by the identity, just saying that it's identity. So you have such an element. So how do you express that? First you take this one in your base field, the one, the normal one, number one, and you try to use this unit map that brings you to the identity inside H, and this is identity inside H here, and you have your actual element A in here. Then, and then now you multiply them together. And what you want is that these to be natural identification, which is kind of one. So this natural identification is given by one tensor A equals A, will identify with A. So and then on the right hand side, you say that the identity multiplied from the left, right, should also be have the same property. So you basically just flip the map, flip the diagram.
I'm confused. What is this K?
K is the scalar field. Like the scalar will start
it's
with.
It's any element of the scalar field.
No, no, it's the whole field.
It's the field, so it's like it's complex numbers. Or
it's the whole thing.
Yeah, it's the whole thing here, you mean. So, you know, often in vector space, you have the, you know, you have a vector space over the real number, say, like R3. And when you tensor with R itself, you don't change it, right? Like, so dimension has multiplied. 1 times 3 is still 3 dimensional, still a real vector space. So this kind of identification they used here. So that's just, you know, writing in some, maybe some familiar language of something that you're familiar with. But now, I guess, what's convenient now is that I can reverse all the arrows and call it the coalescence. So here, what I need for coalescence, I say coalescence. And then side by side. So here H. So what does it mean to have a coalgebra structure on this vector space H? So you have something called the co-multiplication. And you have something called the co-unit. And you know, in terms of diagram, it's a very brute force. You can just switch everything. So you this multiplication becomes your co-multiplication by reversing the arrow. I mean, maybe that doesn't yet tell you what the map is, but the axioms are, if these are satisfied, then you have a co-algebra structure. And you have H2K, and you reverse all arrows and replace mu by, so I'll give you an example, mu by delta. And so all the map arrows reverse, and you get the you get a coalgebra structure, or if these are satisfied, you get a coalgebra. So this one is not crucial, but you have to put it in to for this diagram to save as a commuting diagram. So, but I guess the idea is. So let me interpret what this map means, right? After just doing
sorry,
this.
What is that map? That's not crucial.
Oh, this is just identification of H with K tensor H.
And
it's an isomorphism.
It's not an isomorphism between H and K tensor.
Yes. So what I want to pick out specially, I mean anything else is a scalar map.
Oh, right.
So it's not really isomorphism, and you know, if you have this way, you have that way. And it's just that I could keep it. I mean, these are crucial changes because they have to change them to match that. And this one is just there. But the thing is, if you have a triangle going this way, it's not clear what it means to be commuting diagram. Just, I mean, it won't be clear if you say it's identity here, but. Okay, so what do they mean now? So now if you have, you know, these delta going that way, so you first split one copy of H into two copies, I mean, by some prescription, if you have such a map, and then you split it again, but the thing is, it doesn't matter in which way you split it. So the fact that it's a coalgebra comes with this requirement that you can perform, as long as you don't change the order of the components. You can split them in any way and get to the desired number of copies you want. So now I want to say, you know, kind of a first, I'll give examples of algebra as well. Maybe I'll give one example first. Maybe let's take a group, a finite group G. Wait, I'm writing one thing. Am I supposed to write out this first?
It's up to you.
Okay. Nice recommendation. So example. algebra and co-algebra. So if you start with the G finite, then I want to. So you sometimes have this notion, group algebra, which means that you're taking the vector space whose bases are your elements in G. So because G is finite, you have finite dimensional vector space. G1, G2, I don't know, right? Then you have a whole multiplication. Being a group algebra, it's already enough. You have you take two elements. So it's say, you can add them because I'm saying this vector space. You just add component wise. And then you take have a g1 times, group of g and b h, then you multiply them, you get a b times g h, and this is another element in group. So things like that, just people, linguists will talk about such things as a group algebra. Then
you so a and b are in the field.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, it also has a cool algebra structure. So, this has an algebra structure. It also has a cool algebra structure. It's, if you take a little g, so if you take something in your group, then the co-multiplication will give you just G tensor in G. So this is something inside K of G, say, in particular, basis element K of G, and it gets something, a tensor product, also in K of G, tensor K of G. And you'll see in a second it corresponds to something nice that you worked on a little. But I want to try to relate these two concepts now. So a little more in general, relate these two concepts. So I have something, I kind of name it, but so when you have an algebra and I'll just call it duality. So some sort of duality at the level of algebras, algebras. So,
going back to the definition for a minute. Delta was supposed to be a linear map as well?
Yeah. So you extend by linearity and divide on
But if you have delta of c times g, don't you get c squared times g times g? I see.
That's
this
okay.
This is only on the basis that it's g times g. So delta c times g is still c times g times g.
Right. Okay. So for g inside a g there.
Right.
Yeah, so I just want for people, so it's kind of confusing. So now I want to introduce duality. It's the first duality notion you'll see, and you'll see lots of duality between those two columns later. So this is demonstrating. And this diagram, I guess.
Well, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Okay. So, maybe this has to do with the compatibility that you mentioned before. So because the element G could be already the product of two, could be H1 tensor H2, right?
Yeah. tensor, it won't be times multiplied.
Times, sorry.
Okay.
So G could be H1 times H2. So when delta applies on H1 times H2, I could see it as H1 squared times H2 squared, right? It could be H1, H1, H2, H2, or it could be H1, H2, H1, H2, right?
Yeah,
but, well, maybe I haven't. So your problem is if you also write it in terms of products, does it, like, how does it work out in here? Well,
yeah. So I see something ambiguous because I probably
okay.
understand.
Maybe you should.
But explain on G
could
be the product of two things.
Yeah,
well,
the tensor product
about
is distinct from the group product, right?
Yeah.
So H1, H2 tensor, H1, H2, is not the same as H1, H2.
Okay, right. So that's why I wanted to start from
okay.
So from the mu.
But
so, okay, so let me say. If G is mu, H1, H2.
Mu, H1, mu, mu, oh.
G could be written
okay.
as mu, H1,
yeah,
H1.
Yeah, okay.
Then you apply that on it. So you could see it as, you know, mu, H1, mu h1, mu h2, mu h2, or mu h1, mu h2,
mu
h1,
doesn't make sense.
But the question you're asking is mu delta equal to delta mu?
Yeah, but that doesn't
not
have to be.
Which is almost what I'm getting to
yeah,
here.
But that is another way.
Sorry,
no.
So the question I'm asking is whether you can swap the arguments of mu instead inside the delta.
It's gonna be mu h1 h2 tensor product mu h1 h2.
Okay, so it cannot be mu h1 h1 tensor mu h2 h2.
No. So anything we haven't said, you can assume doesn't work yet. So because for maybe it's pretty easy to say this one. Maybe let me say what the compatibility is, just for the people who are curious, and I should. So. Basically, it means that the compatibility here means that the whole algebra map is, you know, both this and, you know, these two called algebra maps are algebra morphisms. And I haven't defined it, and then I've been kind of avoiding, but I mean, at the moment, because we don't need it so much. We can think of it as behaves well with respect to the algebra structure. Or alternatively, I mean, they're the same, this if and only if. Kind of, you know, most of the time. You can show just from diagrammatic, so I mean these things. Or that the algebra maps, the mu, the multiplication, and the unit map are co-algebra morphisms. So they're really two notions that doesn't add to each other, but you can require either one to be true. So for you to know, just then they're compatible.
So I don't have
But in that example, I'm not even talking about the compatibility. I'm just defining a separate co-algebra structure at the moment. So.
Right. Mm-hmm. But when you say that you could use one of them, you mean that one of those implies the other?
Yes, they're like if and only if. Just by rotating and rearranging the diagrams, you get that. So it's very.
They don't have to be homomorphisms, just one.
So morphisms is kind of the same homomorphism, except homomorphism usually means group homomorphism. Usually means the morphism allowed in the category of groups. And what you mean, algebra morphisms means that the maps which are allowed on in the category of algebras, kind of, I mean in some way. So the appropriate maps to say. I guess, so like if you have addition structure, you also want to respect addition and that kind of stuff. Depends on what structure you have, and so you determine what you want to preserve by mapping. So here I'm getting to duality, which is kind of has to do with your question of how does the coproduct and the product interact, but they don't interact within themselves. They interact with the dual, the corresponding thing on the dual of the vector space. So let's see. I'll draw this, but you know, it doesn't make sense until I explain it. So, yeah, I'll explain it. So what it means is actually, if you have, so let's first look at this triangle here. This tells you that if you have given an algebra, a coalgebra, right? You know the stuff. So what you H. So it comes, if it's a coalgebra, it comes with this map, like without the star, right? Same thing. They're all linear maps, and the duals just mean the linear functionals on that map. You might have a linked map for linear algebra, right? So like just the linear functional, if it's finite dimensional, the dual space is the same dimension of the same dimension like that. And the, just a dual of the map, which is this is just a pullback. So this just means the transpose of the linear map. It doesn't mean your Hermitian conjugate. I'm working in a real vector space and I just want transpose. So so if you take a transpose, I mean, there's this map, I will define this in a second. If you compose this with that, you get your multiplication on H star. So you get a structure, get an algebra structure. Structure on H star. So I was saying that, you know, you have a coalgebra structure, an algebra structure. I mean, they correspond, but they're not on the same vector space. They correspond in this way. If you have H mu and eta, this structure will be H star. So this is your dual vector space. And you will have mu H star defined in this manner. And your eta, algebra structure. So your unit map on H star is given by the dual of the one on H. So let me explain this first. This is the crucial point. So this map here.
Oh, this is not there.
Oh, there is a star there. Because I want it to be mu star, so it takes two copies of H star to one copy of H star. Okay? So I just.
Yeah, you get given a coalgebra, though, should be delta and epsilon.
Oh, yeah, so.
And the coalgebra is H star, right?
The coalgebra is H, let's just call it H, you know, but it induces an algebra structure on the dual space. That's the main point. So
does a coalgebra has to be an algebra?
No, a priori no. So.
But then you haven't defined mu and eta for the coalgebra H, then what do you mean you get an algebra?
I define it here. So this one is defined in this commuting diagram. I'll tell you what this map is. So once you compose these two things, so maybe I'll just write it.
What is H star? I'm confused.
H star is a dual vector space. If you take, for example, you take n-dimensional vector space, then you look at the linear functionals on it, which means all.
Okay, so it's just. Okay.
Yeah, you probably know it. So, then that's the same dimensions, right?
What is lambda bar?
Lambda bar.
In the diagram.
So I'm going to define it now. Yeah. But for what's your lambda bar, you'll compose this. Let's first apply this and that. So lambda bar, let's say, see. So now, I know the lambda bar, result of lambda bar. I mean, I'm just trying to. So here you have two elements. So let's call them alpha, tensor, beta. So you can define a basis element, right? Take two linear functionals, and you can extend by linearity. So you always extend by linearity. So alpha, beta, not always, but at least now. Alpha, there in H dual. So H dual, you take two things, how can they act? I mean, so in algebra often things work out, you have to do certain things. So you take something here, this whole thing, act on two things in H, just H. So take maybe A tends to V. again, you can use linearity. How does it on a, add on the basis of H? And A and A and B and H. Now, they actually just, so, and I want to get a number in K, just in the field K. So I can just write them like this, multiply. And this is the multiplication, usual multiplication in the field, field K. If you like, you can say mu K, but then it gets your number. So that's how you get it. So you just, the corresponding copy acts on the corresponding copy here. So this acts on here, gets you something in K, and this copy here acts on this here, gives you something in K, and in the end you get something in K. So in the end, this map, you guess, so you take lambda bar of something in here, you get something in here, which takes two-legged tensor product of two things in H, and gives you something in K. And you can extend it with all this information by linearity. So that's your lambda. So just telling you, I mean, for reference, but for understanding, it's most important to know that you can go between
these. But mu is the product. How could mu go from H to H tensor H?
Where?
So mu H star is not a multiplication. No, the left
this,
side.
Oh, this it's one? Well, take the dual. So you take, you know, you take a transpose of linear map or whatever. Like, so when you take, so in linear maps, you have this notion that you, so in general, let me say here, if you have something from two vector space A to B, then you can take F star, that goes from B star to A star. And how does it work? So this is a linear functional, right? So I can tell you how you get this. So if you take something in B dual, so basically a linear functional on B, then so I also get something in A dual. So I let this thing, so this together should be in A dual. And what does in A dual means? It takes something in A to us a number. So how does it do it? So you first, you basically, this is a pullback, F compose F, and then apply beta on it. Beta is in B, right? So you get a number out. So, this. And in terms of matrices, it's the transpose. So they are related. So this is the kind of.
Then you should swap the order of that definition of mu H star. It should be.
That is mu star H. That's mu H star.
It's the different thing as
dual.
The dual operation versus the dual space.
That's exactly true. Yeah, the whole idea is to relay all these things. But you see the dual space and you correspond, you know, you have to switch this and you know, you have a different triangle which tells you similar thing. There's a slight subtlety with the other one. I won't write out in full details because you can see you have the same lambda bar. Now you have this triangle here. So how you use it is that if you have an algebra structure on H, algebra structure. So this one's, say if you started with an algebra structure on H, but forget about the star for now. So mu H, then what you can do is take the dual and compose your lambda bar inverse, you will get the coalgebra structure on H star. But the subtlety is that whether you can take this inverse depends. So in general, you don't have an isomorphism. But if you have finite, these H's are finite dimensional, then you have isomorphism, you can go back. So same story for blue triangle, yes. But it is subject to H being finite dimensional. Let me try to get through to the definition of Hopf algebra, and I want to give you an example. So some of this I might move faster, just because I wanted to be a combination of getting somewhere and actually knowing it solidly. So as I was saying, in Hopf algebra is both an algebra and a coalgebra, and at the same time, these structures are compatible in this sense. the algebra maps are homological morphism and the other way around. And now, and it has antiple. So all I need to tell you now to define how algebra works, so what is an antiple? So now I'm trying to define an antiple. So let's see. So when you specify a Hopf algebra, you give an H, you write all this data together. So what is your algebra map? What's, you know, I keep writing wrong. What's your co-algebra map and what's your antiple? That's the last piece of definition. Let me say this. So first I'll tell you that so everything as before, but S is endomorphism of H. It's an element that goes between H to H, like endomorphism as like linear map between H. But so it it needs to satisfy certain axioms. I'll write it down. So it basically, so I guess in one word it would be that it is the inverse of the identity endomorphism on H. In a certain algebra, an algebra structure is defined by the morphism of H. So I will write this. So what it means is, so this is some kind of multiplication which I will define. You'll take S multiplied by identity of H. So you want it to be the same as S, right? And you want it to be the also the right inverse of identity and the morphism. So that's the statement I was making. So it's the easiest way to remember what an antiple is. But what does it mean? So I need to explain what these things are. So now I know the H is a whole algebra and an algebra. So I'm going to make use of the fact and define this convolution. I think it's called convolution. Using those two operations. So let's see. So S still goes between, I'm trying to define things for these. Okay, this is going to be, so I was telling you that I want to have an algebra structure on endomorphism of H. Let me just write. And the multiplication corresponds to this. And actually it's unit, oh never mind, this is wrong here. So this is a unit on this for this algebra. So inverse means that you multiply together unit in the public algebra. Now I explain what this is. But this thing, you know, by writing it out like this, you know that this multiplication in this ring, this algebra, takes something in endomorphism of H, tensor endomorphism of H, to endomorphism of H. I mean, basically, I need to define, so when you put two things together like this, so an operator and an endomorphism of A and endomorphism B, you want to get a new endomorphism. So I need to tell you how it acts on something in H. So I'll take a little H.
So you know, on a finite vector space is the matrix product, right?
No. I don't think so.
Well, the matrix is an.
Well, I could be wrong, but you see, you use this multiplication, and in general, I.
The star, right?
Yeah.
The star.
Well, why don't we learn that?
Yeah. So what you first do is you want to you have two operators here. So the first thing you might want to do is split H into two copies. The little H. I mean, one copy H into two copies H. So that sounds reasonable, I guess. Maybe. And then you can let this A tensor B act on it. Right, so A act on the first copy and B act on the second copy. And, I'll just define them online. So, I'm used to longer definition. And then now you multiply it together. So, instead of that, I'll say, so you take some little H, you split it into two copies, I don't know, they have some, I mean, then you have some new notation. I don't want to write it, but basically here you have something in H of tensor H. And here you have two endomorphisms. So this together, you transform the first, when you take tensor product linear maps, you kind of maybe used to the notion, just let this H add on this copy of H and gives you something new in H. And also B on the other copy. Then you multiply them together so you get something in H. You use this new of H to multiply them together. So you see this is, so you use both the co-multiplication. And the multiplication of H. So they're all used in the definition.
So in the group algebra, that's the A of H prime speaking.
A of, yeah, so exactly. So I'm going to go back to that example, and you see how natural it is. That it gives you just the function, the algebra functions of it, because the multiplication just corresponds to it. So I'm coming back to this example, like, one thing is that if you take the identity, maybe you get that, but A and B are two free.
If H is in the group, then you get A of H.
Oh, B of H, yeah, you use that, yeah, that's right. You can write that out, and yeah, radians, in general, it doesn't kind of sound because there are a lot of linearity. But what I want to say here, well, I want to keep going, but I want to show you that too. But let me get to I have a couple of things. So I guess now you should know what algebra is. But I want to demonstrate a little more about the duality here in various ways. Not much time left. So one quick word back to the algebra. So as you were saying, I mean every just usually I guess this is about this point kind of. So you see that on the dual space you get the correspond the other kind of multiplication. And in this case, the example of KG, you get, when you have multiplication, that's like co-multiplication. This actually comes very naturally. You can kind of think of why you have this is because you wanted to correspond to the algebra functions on the algebra, linear function of the group algebra. So when you have a linear function on the group algebra, first, this is a little bit confusing sometimes. It just means that you can be arbitrary function on the group algebra. So F can be, you know, can kind of be pretty arbitrary. So it doesn't have to be linear in G, exactly what it is, but like, you just define F on G. But if you take two, so usually when you have product of two functions, you multiply them by F prime. You let it add on a group element G. Then you usually just expect it to get your two numbers and multiply those two numbers together. And that kind of, you can see it in this diagram, it corresponds to, kind of lambda bar actives. So because you have the co-multiplication, G equals to G times G. All right, like it just, I mean, which way they define is different, but so basically if you have co-multiplication in domain, you get multiplication functions and kind of the other way around. But what I really wanted to tell you is examples of how quantum proofs. There's no time left. What do you think?
Can you do it in 5 minutes? You can do it in 5 minutes.
We'll try it next week. Yeah. Yes. Let's spend more time.
Is actually F star F prime?
F star. Where? Just F prime. Just two things in cage.
It's heuristic, and if you have two functions.
Two functions. So basically, just kind of define. You can define your multiplication on this, that, or either you can think of define, you already have a notion, then make sure that these two, the co-modification on kg and the functions on k multiplication on the functions correspond. So either way. Okay, next week, I'm sorry.